Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and by popular demand, I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Sandy Chahal and CFO Suzanne Smith of Supreme, a leading UK brand licensor, distributor, and owner of FMCG products across vaping, sports nutrition, lighting, and batteries. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, big congrats on today's inliner FY23 results and very positive start to the new year on the back of a strong second half. But before we sort of dig into the details, Sandy, I don't suppose you could give people a sort of quick flavour of the current demand picture across the divisions, because I know each one had sort of various issues, etc. Let's perhaps start with the number one, the vaping. How are we getting on there?
Yeah, no, we ended our figures very strong. Second half was super strong last year, and the outlook for this year is looking superb, as you can see in our numbers. Yeah, we're in a really good strong position on the vaping. Same with the wellness. The protein prices have started to come down a little bit. Our margins seem to have improved. Bimex, the brand we bought last year, is performing exceptionally well. We're really delighted with the sales and the margins that we're achieving on that. Overall, the other two categories.
And just on the sports nutrition, just for a bit of education, where does that go into? Which types of sports does it go? Is it bodybuilding, or is it basically rowing or cycling or?
No, our protein powders are for the everyday gym goer. They're not for the real bodybuilders. It's for the everyday fitness sort of person that wants to be active and goes to the gym. They're sold across Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Morrison's, B&M, Home Bargains, Amazon, across a wide range of A-class retailers, basically.
Good. And then on the vaping, what's actually driving the organic growth there? Is it basically, you know, the government wanting to get people off tobacco?
Yeah, so there's a couple of areas. One is our brands, 88 Vape, the 10ml, is performing exceptionally well, still seeing strong growth, even with a backdrop of strong disposable market that's taken off in the last year. It's still growing. So the markets are growing, and also our penetration into more retailers with more space and more SKUs. It's just it's double whammy, along with some of the acquisitions like Cut Size, Liberty Flies. They're all performing well.
Brilliant. And what about the lighting? Because I know there was a bit of an issue in terms of sort of was it overstocking, wasn't it, in some of the channel?
Yeah, this is such a supreme. I mean, look, this time last year, we gave a profit warning on the lighting, and it brought down our numbers quite considerably. We're doing the complete reverse now as the overall business, and doing what we the reduction we're doing is an increase. And the lighting was down to overstocking by a lot of retailers over COVID with all the containers in different places. That's stabilized. The outlook on that is a growth of about 15% from last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what about just finding then the batteries?
So in my whole history since leaving school, this year we just ended was the best year ever on batteries.
Supercharged.
Well, it's supercharged. It shows that we can focus on other things, but not neglect our roots.
Brilliant. Okay, well, that's fantastic. Okay, so Sandy's definitely been driving the demand there, Suzanne. And I know, obviously, the financials came in very good. Can you just give us a sort of flavour of the sort of brief highlights of that in terms of margins and cash flow, et cetera?
Yeah, so top line revenue grew 20% year on year, so 25 million. That was roughly split 50-50 between the core business, so the organic growth that Sandy just touched upon there, whether that's been new product development or the market's growing or customers growing, particularly power brands like our 88 Vape 10ml has done really well, as has Cymex, as Sandy mentioned. And then the other half of the growth has come from all of the M&A that we did during the year. So yeah, roughly 50-50. But the standout performance unequivocally was vaping. Vaping grew 75% during the year.
Wow.
And that was really split into three fairly equal chunks as well. A third of it was the M&A that I just touched upon, that the two acquisitions that we made during the year, Cutsize and Liberty Flights. A third was the MPD, so we launched a range of disposables and some additional hardware. And the other third came from organic. So the core heart of the category also grew. So we saw it right across the category, and it was a real standout performance. Adjusted EBITDA did fall year on year. We went from 21.1 last year to 19.4. But as you'll see when we kind of take people through a more detailed presentation, we have the bridge to profit will kind of highlight that the drivers of that fall in EBITDA are all temporary in nature. And they were principally three things. So we had some real pressure from an inflationary perspective, particularly on our wellness category. So we saw the cost of whey double, sometimes for a short period, even triple. We've now seen that recover. So that kind of feeds into why our outlook is so positive for FY24. Secondly, we bought some businesses in the year and we carried their overheads temporarily. Again, we've either already transitioned away from that overhead base or we're on a path to do that. So again, temporary in nature. And then the third piece, as Sandy just touched upon, was the lighting. We saw a very sharp dip in our lighting revenue and GP. And because of the nature of our business model, most of that lost GP falls down to lost EBITDA. But as Sandy just alluded to, that category is back in recovery as well. So all of the factors that have driven revenue growth are permanent look forward factors. But the elements that have held EBITDA back were all largely temporary in nature. And we're already seeing recovery in those. So they're not something that none of them in isolation or even collectively are something that concern us for the sort of more medium to long term growth. Touching on cash, Supreme has always been a cash generative business, but especially so in FY23. We generated £20 million of operating cash, almost double the operating cash we generated the year before, despite the fact we made less profit. And that's an indication of how well controlled and how tightly managed our working capital continues to be, even when we're growing the business, we are acquiring new businesses. There is always a focus on that core part of our kind of cash management. And so much so that we have reported a virtually net debt neutral position at year end. So we're actually positive £3 million of cash on the balance sheet at year end. 6 months before, at the half year, we reported to be £13 million net debt. So that's a £16 million swing in a 6 month period where we've been integrating businesses, launching new products. So, you know, where you would typically see an investment into working capital. But again, that's just indicative of how cash generative Supreme is. So really pleasing set of financial metrics.
Well, you're doing a great job there. And I would highlight to investors, actually, if you look at that, the numbers, I mean, it's a market cap of about 121 million. If you're making sort of like 20 million of free cash flow, then that's a very strong double digit free cash flow yield. So yeah, that sets a high bar, that does, Suzanne. Now, just turning to sort of the split between sort of own brands and third parties, where do we currently stand, Sandy, and how do you see that sort of moving forward?
Yeah, so in terms of, we're talking about as vaping or overall in general?
Just overall, sort of like, you know.
So I would say about 65% of our profits come from brands that we own or we make in the UK. The balance, lower margin, but still important to penetrate the retailers, are big brands like Duracell or now the recent Elf deal to drive sort of revenue and into acquire new customers. So that they both sort of sit very well in harmony together as a business. And the sort of our vertical platform enables us to distribute to retailers cost effectively our own brands and big brands together.
Yeah, and you raise a really good point. I mean, it seems as though, you know, one sort of like theme across the whole of your own brands and third party is a sort of the value conscious sort of like, you know, good, affordable sort of like everyday items. Is that correct in terms of that's why it sort of, if you've got families and households, their income is not stretching as far as it did a couple of years ago with interest rates high and inflation high. And therefore, they're sort of like, you know, being careful with their money and migrating more to those sort of like, you know, good, affordable type products.
Absolutely. I mean, we offer both solutions. So, for example, in batteries, we have Duracell, but we also sell JCB, which is our licensed brand. And consumers and our customers have a choice to list or sell both to their consumer. So it does work well, and if there is a downtrade, we will see an upside on our own brands.
Brilliant. And then just Suzanne, turning to the new distribution contract, and big congrats there for winning it for Elf Bar and for Lost Mary. Can you just give us a flavour of sort of the materiality we're talking about here?
Yeah, so you've got to bear with us because it's very early days, and so we're just getting going on some of these contracts, and it's gathering momentum really on a day-to-day. As we stand today, we think that the opportunity will generate somewhere between 25 and 30 million pounds of revenue in this financial year. So bear in mind, we've only got 9 months to go, so slightly more on an annualized basis. And whilst the margins will start off quite small because we are coming off the back of a very strong US dollar and some what were quite high freight costs, albeit they are coming down, over the course of the 9 months, we would expect to generate an incremental £2 million of EBITDA for this year. Wow. But bear with us, and what we have agreed to do, and rightly so, is to report the category separate from the rest of our vaping business. It's an entirely different business model, entirely different kind of financial metrics, different working capital profiles. So we're going to keep it separate so it's really transparent. And I think we're going to try and continue to update the market as and when, you know, things materially change. We expect for the better, and we're really excited about the opportunity, but it is early days. But even so, in these early days, it's still very significant in terms of our
earnings. Two percent on your current EBITDA is over 10% increase, isn't it? Bump up. Yeah. So big congrats there. Now, and Sandy, why did they choose Supreme? I mean, of all partners, is that because you've got this new sort of like, you know, distribution center, RDC and manufacturing side, or is it just because you can touch all these, you know, different outlets across the UK?
I think there's a few reasons. One is, I mean, Supreme have got a wide network of customers, number one. Number two, we've got a slick operation and a low cost of delivery into these retailers. But thirdly, we actually supply these retailers. We've got live accounts with most of the retailers. So they all sort of come together that it actually makes sense for someone like Supreme that's already in the vaping market and understands compliance, understands the whole side of legislation around this. So it does make sense, really.
Good. And then I'm guessing also, I mean, you know, readings, what you know, the commentary before and the annual report, et cetera, you are best in class in terms of sort of like, you know, distribution of vaping products. Can you take us through your sort of latest thoughts on the, you know, how the government is sort of like, you know, seeing vaping and the response from the company in terms of, you know, it's obviously a huge benefit for the NHS. They're giving out free vaping products, about a million of them. But equally, you had Rishi Sunak, who was, you know, talking about stopping underage vaping and how we're responding. And presumably that's one of the attractions that, you know, Elf has come to Supreme.
Yeah, so I mean, we agree completely with the government that we want to encourage adult vapers to carry on vaping and not go back to smoking and get more smokers to quit. And at the same time, we want to stop and we want to reduce the level of teen vape right down. You know, it's not acceptable. The two have to work together. And there's a few areas that the government are looking at. One is, like alcohol, is licensing retailers. So if you sell alcohol, you've got to be a licensed retailer. And if you do sell to underage and you misuse, then your license is taken away. And this will help a lot with the teen vape, because at the moment, it's free for all. In terms of actually the regulatory piece, we believe that we are well positioned in terms of compliance checks. All our products come in and we are checked for their 3 ml fill, which was a problem last year. We also check for the nicotine strength and for any illegal substances and make sure that we have no forbidden substances in our liquids or our third party liquids that we sell. So we are in a really strong position, and we use third party labs on a really complex testing program, which we started already.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, Suzanne, you're obviously building up this cash mountain here. It's like you're cash positive. And what are the sort of the future investment plans, both organic and obviously M&A and paying the dividend? How do you see that sort of working, that mix working?
So we typically, when we're looking forward beyond kind of the next 12 months, we would assume that our growth would come in equal measure from organic and then also fueled by M&A. Bolt-on acquisitions is typically where we drive our M&A strategy from. And we don't really see that changing, albeit our M&A strategy to date has been fairly opportunistic. So it's as and when opportunities arise, as opposed to being a long-term kind of approach for certain brands. So that will remain our strategy. And the fact that we have a new facility, so a new distribution warehouse that's recently opened, we have, as we've said, we're net debt neutral. We've got somewhere, or at year end, we had somewhere around £30 million of unutilized borrowing facilities. It means that we've got the financial and the kind of logistical support to be able to continue to buy more businesses and bring incremental brands into our centralized platform. So that approach doesn't feel like it's changing anytime soon. In terms of, are there particular sectors or particular businesses we're going after? I think it would be helpful for us to rebalance our portfolio in the more medium term. So we've done three vaping acquisitions, one after the other. But prior to that, we bought a wellness business, we bought lighting business and a battery business as well. So I think looking more at the kind of wellness sector in terms of future M&A will help to rebalance the portfolio and rebalance the kind of our product portfolio as well.
What about the dividend?
We'll continue to service our 25% dividend commitment. There's no change there, and there's certainly enough cash to go around to do all of the above.
Brilliant. And then, Sandy, in terms of sort of the capacity you have now, I understand you say from Suzanne you've just opened your new your Trafford Park facility. Do you want to give us a quick update on that and how that gives you the scope to be able to absorb sort of like organic and acquisitive growth?
Yeah, so up till recently, we were operating our business with four or five warehouses across Trafford Park. We've now consolidated into one or two very large ones. It's a purpose built in terms of, you know, the how the goods flow in, the goods flow out, in terms of it's perfect for our vertically integrated platform that we have to sit there and to be the hub to grow to the next big stage. And we're confident that we're there. We've got the right foundations now to do that.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, just finally, Suzanne, if you just give investors sort of a bit more on the sort of the outlook for the rest of the year, and likewise in future news flow. I'm guessing you've probably got your AGM, haven't you, in about two or three months' time.
That's right. So we're delighted with the start of the year, plain and simple. The first 3 months have performed, the business has performed well. There's certain pockets of the business that have performed particularly well. All three of the acquisitions are all doing better than we'd expected. Wellness has already reported a notable kind of customer win. And as Sandy mentioned, the kind of whey prices all starting to recover is really helping the margins in that category. And vaping just continues to go from strength to strength. So that core business combined with the acquisitions and then combined with the new Elf Bar Lost Mary opportunity that we've just talked about has all meant that we now, and analysts are confirming that we are trading well ahead of expectations. I think the exact term is significantly ahead, which is double digit ahead, which we're delighted with. So we're going to keep the kind of markets updated. It's still very early on in the year, but it looks like we're in for a really good 12 months.
Well, brilliant. Okay, well, massive congrats, guys. I would highlight to investors that it's given me a nice problem because I'm going to have to upgrade my target price. It was 175p, but given that it's significantly ahead, I'll be nudging up there tomorrow morning, I'm sure. So, well, really well done there, guys, and look forward in catching up at the next trading update.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having us.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.